These thoughts might have inspired fear, even terror. Somehow, though, they did nothing of the sort. On the contrary, Norton felt a sense of exhilaration, almost of delight. There was far more here to discover than they had ever dared to hope. "Wait," he said to himself, "until the Rama Committee hears about this." Then, with calm determination, he opened his eyes again and began a careful inventory of everything he saw. First, he had to establish some kind of reference system. He was looking at the largest enclosed space ever seen by man, and he needed a mental map to find his way around it. The feeble gravity was little help, for with an effort of will, he could switch up and down in any direction he pleased. But some directions were psychologically dangerous. Whenever his mind skirted these, he had to vector it hastily away. Safest of all was to imagine that he was at the bowl-shaped bottom of a gigantic well, 16 kilometers wide and 50 deep. The advantage of this image was that there could be no danger of falling farther. Nevertheless, it had some serious defects. He could pretend that the scattered towns and cities and the differently colored and textured areas were all securely fixed to the towering walls. The various complex structures that could be seen hanging from the dome overhead were perhaps no more disconcerting than the pendant candelabra in some great concert hall on Earth. What was quite unacceptable was the cylindrical sea. There it was, halfway up the well shaft, a band of water, wrapped completely around it with no visible means of support. There could be no doubt that it was water. It was a vivid blue, flecked with brilliant sparkles from the few remaining ice flows, but a vertical sea, forming a complete circle 20 kilometers up in the sky, was such an unsettling phenomenon that after a while, he began to seek an alternative. That was when his mind switched the scene through 90 degrees. Instantly, the deep well became a long tunnel, capped at each end. Down was obviously in the direction of the ladder and the stairway he had just ascended, and now, with this perspective, he was at last able to appreciate the true vision of the architects who had built this place. He was clinging to the face of a curving 16-kilometer-high cliff, the upper half of which overhung completely until it merged into the arched roof of what was now the sky. Beneath him, the ladder descended more than 500 meters until it ended at the first ledge, or terrace. There, the stairway began, continuing almost vertically at first in this low-gravity regime, then slowly becoming less and less steep until, after breaking at 5 more platforms, it reached the distant plain. For the first 2 or 3 kilometers, he could see the individual steps, but thereafter, they had merged into a continuous band. The downward swoop of that immense stairway was so overwhelming that it was impossible to appreciate its true scale. Norton had once flown around Mount Everest and had been awed by its size. He reminded himself that this stairway was as high as the Himalayas, but the comparison was meaningless. And no comparison at all was possible with the other two stairways, Beta and Gamma, which slanted up into the sky and then curved far out over his head. Norton had now acquired enough confidence to lean back and glance up at them briefly. Then he tried to forget that they were there. Too much thinking along these lines evoked yet a third image of Rama, which he was anxious to avoid at all costs. This was the viewpoint that regarded it once again as a vertical cylinder, or well. But now, he was at the top, not the bottom. like a fly crawling upside down on a domed ceiling with a 50-kilometer drop immediately below. Every time he found this image creeping up on him, he needed all his willpower not to cling to the ladder in mindless panic. In time, he was sure, all these fears would ebb. The wonder and strangeness of Rama would banish its terrors, at least for men who were trained to face the realities of space. Perhaps no one who had never left Earth and had never seen the stars all around him could endure these vistas. But if any men could accept them, Norton told himself with grim determination, it would be the captain and crew of the Endeavor. He looked at his chronometer. This pause had lasted only 2 minutes, but it had seemed a lifetime. Exerting barely enough effort to overcome his inertia and the fading gravitational field, he started to pull himself slowly up the last 100 meters of the ladder. Just before he entered the airlock and turned his back upon Rama, he made one final, swift survey of the interior. It had changed, even in the last few minutes. A mist was rising from the sea. For the first few 100 meters, the ghostly white columns were tilted sharply forward in the direction of Rama's spin. Then they started to dissolve in a swirl of turbulence as the uprushing air tried to jettison its excess velocity. The trade winds of this cylindrical world were beginning to etch their patterns in its sky. The first tropical storm in unknown ages was about to break.